You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Late Monday night here, we just saw Chris Paul make his Phoenix Suns debut, and that means, of course, we are back here on Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Brendan Kleen. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On PHX Suns. You can follow me on Twitter or on the Locker Room app, please, if you will. We can do some fun stuff there at Brendan Kleen 14. I write about the Suns and the NBA at SB Nation, Forbes, Dime Up Rocks, and right here on the Locked On Phoenix Suns podcast. I am happy to be with you recapping preseason game number 2 with Dave King of Bright Side of the Sun. Fun conversation with Dave talking about some takeaways from these first 2 games. Without further ado, let's get right into it. All right, here with Dave King of Bright Side of the Sun and the Suns Solar Panel Podcast. You have a spiffy new ad on the games. I didn't even to say anything. We get to see your bright face every time we turn on a Suns game now. Dave, how you doing?
That's disappointing for all the viewers. I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Brendan.
No problem. I was not expecting that. I saw the ad when you guys put it together on social media, and then even my fiance was like, "Hey, there's Dave." I was like, "There he is. All right." But yeah, congrats to you guys. Yeah.
Good for me.
Congrats to you guys on the bump up of the solar panel to be part of the Fox Sports family.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small bump. It's like, not that Fox Sports Arizona isn't a great partner to have, but it's really a tangential. It's like, you know, you're a distant cousin in the family. It just shows up on the holidays.
Sure. You don't get to go to the company Christmas party at Eddie Johnson's house.
No, I don't even get drink tickets. Nope.
Well, let's get into the Suns game because it was a little bit of a clunker, but I think as with any preseason game, there's a lot to take away. 111-92 loss after another double digit loss on Saturday, but things I think were a little bit stacked against the Suns, you know, altitude, the Jazz being kind of this well-oiled machine that they tend to always be. They're playing pretty much their normal rotation. Jay Crowder was out again in this game. Dario Saric out again. But Chris Paul did play, although in its own way, that was also a reminder of kind of how far things have still to go by, and I mean that within the Chris Paul has not played organized basketball with this team, according to both him and Monty. He had been kind of working himself back to being ready, and this was the first time it even so much as scrimmaged, and it was a full preseason game. So what did you think of seeing Paul out there with the guys for the first time?
Well, I got to tell you, obviously, if you did watch this game on TV tonight or on a stream or however you did, you were wondering what's so great about Chris Paul. I mean, he wasn't himself. He wasn't the Chris Paul that it was second team all NBA this past year. But, you know, that's what warming up or preseason for an old guy is like. It's like, you know, I'm getting up there in years myself, and in the mornings I have to stretch to, you know, to feel fully functional. I have to have my coffee and all this stuff. And it basically his NBA season is like a day for me. And first thing in the morning, he needs some time to warm up. So let's hope he warms up.
So you're saying Chris Paul didn't get his coffee.
Yeah, that's what I'm basically saying. He didn't stretch his calves. He didn't do something. He looked like the uncle that shows up at the barbecue and is ready to play some pickup. And then, you know, he's got his tracksuit already on. So obviously he's going to look a lot better in real games. He is at the stage of his career where he's going to pace himself a little bit. But I saw a couple of really nice pocket passes to DeAndre Ayton in that first half for easy layups as he drew the defense away on pick and roll. And that's exactly where we're going to see 20 times a game during the year. The Suns obviously didn't show any of their big powers tonight.
No, they didn't. And I'll let you be the one, if this audio ever gets back to Chris Paul, to be the guy calling him an uncle at a pickup game.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Chris.
If CAA or whatever his agency is gets it to him, I'll let it be known that was Dave who said that. I did not even so much as nod.
Hey, all he has to do is say that it was what's his name? It's fake, you know?
It was Cliff. Yeah. I think though,
the new Chris Paul actually.
Yeah, exactly. I think what he did for Ayton though was actually pretty promising. The fact that these guys are clearly not at full strength, that even Ayton, who has been bursting at the seams to get this thing underway here, is clearly not at full conditioning himself, and still they were able to connect on
those
some
shorts.
Yeah. Okay. I know Ann Myers Drysdale mentioned it that way as well, as he was getting kind of, we'll say, a talking to from Chris Paul on the sideline. But I think the fact that those guys did find or that Paul found Ayton is pretty good to see that already, I don't even think they have anything close to chemistry. And yet just Paul being such a master of that pick and roll is already creating some openings for Ayton that, as much as we love Ricky Rubio, that's just not how the team played with Rubio, because that's not really how teams defend him when he's coming off a screen like that. So that was a little bit of a taste of, I think, what we have coming our way. Like you said, probably by the regular season or a few games into the regular season, that'll be pretty regular. I liked what Monty said too, though, about that pick and roll, which is it's not just going to be good for Ayton. It's going to really be their bread and butter of their offense. And he liked how he saw the other guys kind of playing off of it. And we saw Booker and Bridges get up more shot attempts than anybody. It seemed like they're both of these games, the two of those guys seem to be maybe the most comfortable already.
Yeah, obviously. Yes. Devin Booker is just definitely playing. Actually, I did notice that Devin Booker intentionally did not do any setup, you know, passing. You know, I think he had no assists tonight. He might've had one. But he's had games like that where it's not him freezing anybody out. It's him just trying a role, and they're always in a preseason or such where it doesn't matter. And so he was definitely playing the off guard, you know, create my own shot role tonight. He wasn't actually being the inclusive guy that he will be every game in the regular season. So guys were feeling their way. DeAndre Ayton was not aggressive on offense. He kind of just floated around. I mean, he played hard on defense and things like that, but offensively he wasn't really looking for a shot, because maybe he was like going, hey, I've never played with Chris Paul before. Maybe Chris Paul set me up for 20 of these things, you know, down the lane. And I think everybody was a little waiting to see what happens with Chris Paul, and eventually they'll become a team. How quickly that happens is a very good question.
You mentioned the assists. I totally agree with you on Booker. I think we saw that on Saturday too. I think you're right in terms of he's kind of trying it out for size, but I think he's also, of all these players, to me, seems like the guy taking the preseason most seriously as a chance, him and Langston Galloway, I'll say, like a chance to get their feet underneath of them, like get their legs underneath of them. Because like you said, I mean, Ayton seems to be kind of going through the motions a little bit. Booker's out there like, I only got four of these before I need to be in full swing. So I'm going to get my shots up. I'm going to be getting my, executing my sets. And even, you know, he intentionally fouled Gobert on a pretty rough play. Booker's been playing hard for sure. But when it comes to those assists, we only saw 16 on 37 made baskets for the Suns. Does it surprise or worry you at all that we're not seeing the ball move, or do you think that that's just going to take time because there are so many new pieces?
Well, that really is, it really is interesting. Tonight they didn't have campaign and Chris Paul was just a fraction of himself. And Devin Booker wasn't trying to pass. So this is one of those games where that kind of thing happened. I mean, Etuan Moore is not a point guard, and he was second on the team in assists with three. So I think this was really a feel-out game. It was also that the Jazz were feeling it themselves, you know. So the Suns were feeling out, and the Jazz were feeling it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I actually think Moore might actually be more of a playmaker than we've seen him be the past couple of years. But you're right. I mean, and I would also add Šarić there. Like, without Šarić,
right.
It's, he's, you know, Monty calls him a connector. We know how important he's going to be to that second unit, and he's a guy who can dish up some assists if the offense is working right. So we'll see more of it, I'm sure. But it is just, it does stand out after so many games last season and in the bubble where we saw, you know, 20, 30, 35 assists on some nights. Maybe it'll, you know, and I think things will be a little different with Paul around. So maybe this is the beginning of a little bit of an adjustment. We'll see where maybe some more baskets created off the bounce and individually more so than necessarily needing to come from assists.
Yeah, but I wouldn't read too much into it. I think if we're five games into the regular season and they're averaging 16 assists on 37 made shots, then we have something to talk about. But until then, I really think they haven't rolled out their whole offensive package. Chris Paul, like everyone, like you just said, Brendan, that they had said is he hasn't even played full court with these guys until tonight in the game. Totally. So yeah. it's, and there was no meaning to this game. And Chris Paul is 15 years in to his career and he knows there's no meaning to this game. He's got nothing to prove. He's just trying to, you know, feel things out. So I wouldn't worry about the assist totals until we're into the, in, you know, week, 2 weeks into the regular season at this point.
No, not a worry at all. I think their offense is just maybe going to look a little different. And some of what we've seen them do is not so much let's ping, 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 ping for a shot, but, you know, let's get this one guy going downhill. So maybe that is just playing things easy for preseason, or maybe I personally think we might see a little more of that type of stuff come the regular season. So, you know, maybe a taste of that, or maybe I look foolish and we're seeing 35 assists come.
Oh, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't trying to assume you're, or suggest you're being foolish. You may be right that the Suns might not lead the league in assists this year. That was an anomaly.
That's so crazy that they led the league. Yeah. I forget. And they were up there in total passes per game for a while too, but let's take a quick break here and get into Langston Galloway, who had another really good night, and I think is taking it pretty seriously that he needs to earn his spot in this rotation during the preseason as well. But before that, I want to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's show. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we at the Locked On Podcast Network are so excited to tell you about it as well. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers who work exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or maybe looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Check it out. Back here with Dave King of Bright Side of the Sun and the Sun's solar panel, wanted to hit on Langston Galloway's night. 5 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 14 points. Again, a guy who just came in and started shooting and made the shots that he created for himself. And actually, I don't know if you were on the media call with him yesterday, Dave, but he basically came out. I mean, I said this on the show over the weekend, and I guess it's not a surprise to hear him say this, but it is always interesting when guys do kind of say the quiet part loud, I guess, if so to speak, which is that he knows that he's not guaranteed a spot and that he knew he had to come out and show the coaching staff that he could make good on, you know, what he's always done in his career. So have these two games maybe changed how you're thinking? I saw some talk online about, you know, maybe Langston Galloway kind of bumping himself up in this rotation after two strong scoring nights.
You know, it's really interesting because he is on the edge of not getting any minutes. Him and Etuan Moore, they're the fifth and sixth guards on this team. So if there's injuries, they'll play a lot. If there's no injuries, you've got to think that at least they're ahead of Abdel Nader. But you've got to think that they're behind Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and then the two stars from the bubble, at least for the first few weeks of the season, Cam Payne and Jabon Carter. You've got to give those guys minutes ahead because they earned it in that bubble in that 8-game run. And they deserve to get the big chance. But Galloway, I think, has definitely put himself ahead of Etuan Moore in the rotation. He looks to me, reminds me of kind of like an Eddie House kind of player where he's not so big, but he's got that quick, he can step, catch, and release all in one motion on a catch and shoot. And that's really good to see, really fun to see. Cause you got to have, if you're not the longest guy in the world, you got to have a great quick release, and he's got that. And he has no hesitation on taking the shot, and it's sweet and smooth. So absolutely, I think he's going to get some minutes this year. He'll get more minutes as time goes by, I think, because he's going to be so valuable to this team. The question is, whose minutes does he take? Does he take Jabon Carter's, or does he take Cam Payne's?
Well, if Payne can't make some improvements from Saturday and take care of the ball a little better, you know, take some more sound shots. Like, I don't want to overreact to that game from Payne, but he did get a nice golden spoon of 30 minutes. And admittedly, his own post-game press conference did not do what he wanted to do out there. So if that happens again, and we keep seeing Galloway play so well, I agree with you on Carter, but I think they're going to kind of have to have a quick trigger with Payne, because you can't afford to have a guy handling the ball as much as he does play poorly. So, that's one of the things I like about Galloway is like a JJ Redick or a Kyle Korver, these shooting specialists who are, on the smaller side. Korver, I guess is a little bigger, but Galloway knows, like, if he's coming off of a screen or if there's a play run for him to get freed up behind the arc and the shot's not there, he knows how to get rid of it and how to keep the ball, like keep the play going. There's guys who, like Troy Daniels, wasn't going to do that. Yes, he's a great shooter, but if the shot wasn't there, he might kind of fall apart, dribble the air out of the ball, turn it over, take a bad shot. Galloway will, survey the offense as he's coming around that screen and then give it back up right away if it's not there. So I like that about him. And I think that's a little bit closer to that 0.5 offense that the Suns want to run. So I'm hopeful that he can keep it going. Obviously, he's not a great defender and he's a little small, so he has his own cons as well. But
at least he tries hard. I mean, he's going to.
And he's a vet, so you can kind of trust him.
He's going to be more effective than Troy Daniels was and is as a player, because not only does he have that great shot, but he plays a lot more intensity and effort on defense. And I know Troy went through a period where he was trying real hard and people were giving him some credit, but that was kind of on a 30th ranked defense team. So
exactly. That was like, he's the Galloway one guy who's played in the league more than 3 years on this team. So
Suns Jam Session, which is a podcast on the Bright Side Network. They interviewed John and Matthew interviewed Lazarus Jackson from Detroit Bad Boys. And he talked about what they're losing in Langston Galloway. And Langston Galloway is awesome in the locker room, which, you always want to see and hear about. But he also, plays real hard, fights real hard, is solid on defense, despite his size. I think he has a 6'7" wingspan still. So, I mean, it's functional. And he shoots the heck out of it. So they were really sad to see him go. Same with, obviously, with Etuan Moore with the Pelicans. The Jam Session interviewed someone from the Pelicans blog, too, and said the same. So glowing reports on these guys. And the question is, will Jabon Carter and Cam Payne hold them off for the minutes that they're going to get? But you've got a real big problem, which you started with, Brandon, real quick. I know I ramble a little bit, but what you started with was the playmaking. And none of these guys is a great playmaker. That's going to be the Suns' problem. They really only have Devin Booker and CP3 as the playmakers on the team creating off the dribble. When those guys are on the bench, all you see is Jabon Carter dribble in, dribble back. Then you got Cam Payne, dribble in, dribble back. You got
Carter is I really try not to be too hard on Carter, because I think people get tired of me criticizing him, and you have to accept that he's great at what he's great at, and that's the role that he needs to play. But more so on Saturday, there were a lot of possessions where he ended up with the ball in his hands, and he just doesn't feel confident doing it. You can tell watching him. He's not a guy who's going to get into the teeth of the defense and make a play. He's not really a guy who's going to see the court as a passer, partially because he's probably, you know, just so small. But that's not the answer. You're totally right. Galloway is not a playmaker in terms of setting guys up, you know, for advantage situations for his teammates. Moore, I think that's why I keep saying he might just be one of their better options, but obviously that's not super ideal. He's not a traditional point guard. He's, even when he has played more of a creator type of a role in the past, that's mostly been to create his own offense, like a bench guard that's just out there to score. So he can dribble and he can initiate, but he's really just out there to get his own and kind of move the ball around. But he's not a guy who's, like, you know, going to stand in for what Chris Paul does. So that brings me to Dario Saric. We haven't seen him yet, but I think that's part of the reason he's going to play such a big role on this team, is that in that second unit, you know, we might see them stagger Booker and Paul a little bit. So that'll be part of how they do it, I think. But the other part will be, I think, running a lot through Saric at the elbow. And so, you know, we'll see how he fares. I'm really hoping he can get back on the floor. I think they're kind of shuffling guys in and out, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe somebody else sits after this game, and maybe against the Lakers we see Saric, and maybe like McHale doesn't play or whatever. They're being kind of patient with guys, but I do think you want to start to get some chemistry between Saric and those other guys on the second unit. Speaking of the front court, that brings us to Jalen Smith. We'll take a quick break and then talk about the rookie who got his first start of his career in the preseason. Okay, closing out the show here with Dave King of Bright Side of the Sun and the Sun Solar Panel. Hope you guys will check out tomorrow's show as well with Ricky O'Donnell talking best 25 players in the year 2025 in the NBA. They did a great show over on Mike Prada's podcast feed talking about that. Booker, of course, ranked pretty high, but I thought the conversation was interesting, so I'm going to bring him on. But let's talk Jalen Smith, Dave, because I tweeted during the game, like, he has a little bit of pop off the bounce that I was not expecting and that I kind of didn't believe when James Jones was talking about it. And I guess that's why they pay him to be a general manager of an NBA team and not me. But the rookies looked pretty comfortable with the ball in his hands and at least on offense, getting his shot going.
Yeah, you know, if there's anyone who's surprised me, it's definitely been Jalen Smith. I just did not expect this kind of game from him. He looks a little smaller than 6'10". He's got a 7'1" wingspan too. Can you believe this? And but he looks smaller than that out there. He kind of moves. He's very top heavy. Skinny. Well, that's why they call him Sticks, right? And some guys, you know, you can have all the power in the world and still have skinny legs. That's not a problem. If he's got the right mobility, and he looks like he's got, what's impressed me is he looks like he's got a little bit more shake, a little bit more mobility than I thought he would. In each of these games, he's dribbled into contact and gotten the shot off and made a shot.
Ran a pick and roll and got an and one today. Pretty impressive.
And it's obviously not high volume, and he's not getting all the touches as a big, you're not going to get touches. I thought it was interesting. Yes, he started next to DeAndre Ayton because I think they really do believe Ayton and Jalen Smith can play next to each other as their careers progress. But again, we saw that a couple of years ago with Marquese Chris and Dragan Bender. It doesn't mean they really can. It just means that the team thinks they can. So we'll see how it goes. And if Jalen Smith becomes a long range threat. He was over 3 on threes tonight, 1 for 4 on threes tonight. Yeah. But he's willing to take them, just like Langston Galloway, he's willing to take them. And that's good. Because you know, the Suns need that long range shooting ability, and hopefully they'll get that from him.
They need it. And I think, you know, more than anything, they kind of just need another body in that front court. If he can even adjust and kind of absorb info and the playbook and the speed of things, that's the thing that Monty's been harping on. And he keeps saying that that's how all rookies are, but I also feel like he's saying it about him more than he said it about like Cam Johnson, for instance. So I do think Smith, you know, maybe just by the nature of being a big man is probably part of it. Whereas Cam is kind of just a spot up 3-point shooter. There's not probably as much of an adjustment there, but Monty does keep referencing how big of a learning curve there will be for Smith. And I think you see that on defense, especially. You probably don't want him to be in, you know, exposed situations. So if maybe you can play him next to a DeAndre Ayton or a Dario Saric pretty much at all times, I think that'll probably be best. But that said, it does help them a lot if they can at least have him out there. Like if they can just trust him to play 10 minutes a night and not, you know, completely melt down, because that just will help them put a rotation together, you know, behind Jay Crowder, if he can play a little four, if they can have Smith and Saric out there together. Like it just becomes a lot easier to see how this team functions if Smith's at least playable. And the fact that they gave him the chance to start and everything at least gives me the indication that they're willing to try it out.
I definitely think he's got a rotation spot and he's got to play himself out of it. I totally agree with you.
How much He'll do you think he plays?
Well, depends on health, right? So sure. I think as long as Dario and Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton are healthy, Jalen Smith, 10, 15 minutes as the fourth big. If any one of those guys is out for extended periods of time, Jalen Smith will get more minutes. And so over the course of the year, he's probably going to end up with an 18 to 20 minute average. It'll be like Cam Johnson, in my opinion. I think it's going to be like Cam Johnson in that it grows over time, over the season, but not fast enough to get him on an all rookie team. And then people are going to once again go, oh, the Suns don't know how to draft. Cam turned out to be one of the 10 best players in that draft, whether he made the second team all rookie or not. And it's possible Jalen Smith will too. I like what I've seen so far, but you just don't know until you see it in regular season. But he does not look like a guy who will get run over or play poorly in a rotation. And that is a huge positive. He might not be a star, but I think he's a rotation player.
Seems like a, you know, at least with his athleticism and awareness, physicality, like he should be a good bet to be a pretty good rebounder. It seems like he is, you know, in position for those. I'm not just judging that from the fact that he had seven. I do think that's something I've noticed. So, you know, I guess I agree with you. Like, you know, as the third big on a team that already is going to be playing pretty small, you probably can trust him. I just worry. I mean, without the summer league and all of that, it's like when things are really going in the regular season, I worry about him a little bit, knowing there's also going to be, you know, the rookie wall that always tends to hit guys halfway through the year. And what's up with, we don't know what the effect of whatever 9-10 month layoff he had to deal with is. So I'm hopeful because it will make things so much easier on this team if they can trust him. The early returns are good. But I guess I'm deferring a little bit to Monty too, saying even with the promising flashes here that he's still mostly wanting to bring Smith along slowly. But anything else that stood out to you from this one or from the Jazz games back to back here, Dave?
Sure. Look, let me just say, this is the level of the Suns' effort tonight. They had two offensive rebounds to the Jazz's 36 defensive rebounds. They had 15 free throw attempts to the Jazz's 41 free throw attempts. So 54 total rebounds for the Jazz versus 37 total rebounds for the Suns. Look, the Suns are not this bad. So folks, if you're worried about how that preseason has gone so far, don't. This is not the Suns team you're going to see in the regular season. This team is better than last year's. And last year's was mid-pack rebounding, top of the league in assists. All these things that we talked about, they're going to approximate that or better this coming year. They're not going to suddenly get worse. This is just two bad preseason games in Utah and in games that don't matter.
Take it straight from Chris Paul's mouth. He has been harping all week long about how when he played for Monty the one season in New Orleans, they lost every preseason game and then started 11-1 in the regular season. So these games do not matter. They do not tell us anything about the overall, like, goodness of a team or the opposite. It's not what it's for. And so yeah, I think we can learn some things about how they're going to play and the players and all the rest. But if anyone is panicking about preseason games after the craziest NBA offseason ever, please, 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 like, drink some tea or something to chill yourself out, because that's not the energy we need right now. It's supposed to be exciting. So yeah, it should be fun. We'll get some home games. We'll get some Lakers basketball. Maybe the Lakers can do the Suns a favor and keep resting LeBron before the season starts, but we will see. Thanks for coming on, Dave. And hopefully we can bring you back soon.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate you having me.